You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello and welcome to the LSR Podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gambling industry. And with me, I have but one of them this week in Dustin Gawker. We are going to be Batman and Robin this week, Dustin. Peanut butter and jelly. Bonnie and Clyde. I'll let you decide if you want to be Bonnie or Clyde. We're going to be that as we go through all of the news and everything this week. It is Maryland. It is Louisiana. We got some numbers to compare. We even have some news from the NBA as well. But before we get going, stop what you're doing. Go and follow Dustin on the Twitter machine. It's absolutely free at Dustin Gawker. I really, really, highly, highly recommend that you do so here before you consume episode 103. Dustin, how's the week been? How has the week been in gambling news out there?
It's been a busy one. That's every week, right? Busy weeks every week now these days. But we're coming down to the nitty gritty of legislative sessions and. I started betting again in the NBA a little bit. Got a promo in Oregon here, which I don't get often. So started betting a little bit, and no Oregon news though. But news about lots of other states.
Yeah. Again, if you want to follow me, if you hate yourself, you can at Matt Brown M2. I suggest you don't. But hey, look, you know, there's a take in there every now and then that's worth following for. So head on over to the Twitter machine again. Everything's absolutely free. But let's kick things off here, Dustin, with the news coming out of Florida here. Again, this is the state that we are now, whenever we're talking about kind of the big fish out there, this is the one that over the last several weeks we have really been honing in on. What is the latest coming out of Florida?
Yeah, I mean, well, depending on who you talk to, good news or bad news, but Florida sports betting passed the legislature this week in a special session convened just to deal with a gaming compact as it relates to the Seminole tribe and other matters related to gambling in the state. Most proximately for our concerns, this legalizes sports betting and online sports betting, which sounds like cause to celebrate. And normally we would be, but we have there are a lot of issues still to come in Florida that, again, depending on who you talk to, these are speed bumps or major things that could derail sports betting in Florida. So first up is this has to go. It deals with a federal compact with the tribe in the state. So this has to go for federal approval. And there are, you know, a lot of people, I think, who think that this is going to get struck down, that sports betting will not be allowed to stand as part of this gaming compact between Florida and the Seminoles, which would then put us back to square one potentially. And this, then we wouldn't have anything going in Florida at all. There's also the potential for lawsuits in Florida. You know, there's a group that has been adamantly against no casinos. That's going to, has said it's as much that it's going to challenge this under the Constitution, that, you know, that there was a recent referendum where voters had to be put in charge of gaming expansion in the state. This is obviously, this is arguably a gaming expansion, not even really arguably. It's just a matter of whether the actual words of this expansion fit under the Constitution. So cause for celebration to some extent, but there's, we're pumping the brakes here because of all of these potential legal hurdles that are going. And you have, on top of that, you have that there's possibly a monopoly in Florida where Hard Rock Digital through the Seminole Tribe is running the entire show there, and you don't have a kind of a robust sports betting market. That's There's a wide range of outcomes there too. But just like New York and just like some of these other states, where there's a lot to be done still to see what sports betting is going to look like and how excited we should be about it and if it's going to happen at all in reality.
Yeah, so that was kind of my follow-up here. Somebody's listening to this and they are from the state of Florida and they're trying to get a big takeaway from this. I think that the big takeaway that you're giving is there's still a lot to be decided. Don't get your hopes up quite yet.
Yeah, again, it's amazing that I have to pump the brakes here, because this would normally be something we're celebrating. And it's you know, there was even possibility this got tripped up in the legislature, but it basically sailed through this week. We weren't sure exactly what would happen in the special session, and legislature basically, without a whole lot of argument, just said, let's go. We're doing this compact. They pulled out a little bit that allowed for the possibility of online casino in the future. They also tabled stuff related to daily fantasy sports. So, but got, you know, sports betting went through with this larger gaming compact. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to handicap it right now. Like, is it like a coin flip that we have like online sports betting by next year in Florida? I don't know. I guess I'd feel like it's worse just because there's so much that has to get through. Like, again, depending on who you ask, this thing is dead when it gets to the Department of Interior has to look at this. And because of how this is structured, the bets are all being taken, all online bets are being taken via the tribe. The servers are on tribal land, but then they're allowed to have kiosks and other things that are on, on paramutual facilities lands. And there's people just don't think this passes the smell test in terms of federal law and how tribal gaming takes place in states and with compacts. So I don't know. That's just the first part. We could have a lawsuit and you could get an injunction stopping them from even contemplating all this. So it's a mess, and it's kind of wild because like comments from lawmakers kind of like said, hey, we know there are problems with this. It's going to probably get a legal challenge and we're just going to pass it anyway, which is not really the greatest way to create policy. You should probably be creating policy that stands up to legal challenges, but that's where we are, and that's where we're at in Florida. So yeah, don't throw ticker tape parades about sports betting quite yet, but you know, it's a step forward at least for Florida, and we'll see whether this turns into actual full online sports betting in the near future.
A state that we have also been talking about a lot recently, and we talked about the passing, of course, of when this might actually get going and when things might get up and running, is Maryland. And it seems like we might have at least a little bit more of a glimmer of an idea here with this one here in the last few days.
Yeah, we have actually official. It feels like a long, long time ago that we were talking about Maryland last time when the legislature passed it and sent it on to Governor Larry Hogan. And it's been sitting on his desk, or not actually physically on his desk, but he could have signed it at any point. And it's been a month since then. So this week he actually signed it, which means Maryland is now officially on the clock. You are getting online sports betting. I don't think there's any reason to worry about it. It passed by overwhelming majorities in the legislature. It was veto proof if he would have vetoed it or changed the bill. So so we're on a path. You know, Maryland has said they hope to have some sort of sports betting in Maryland by NFL season, whether that's just retail books or what have you. I kind of doubt we're going to see online betting in the near that quickly, but you never know. We've seen states go from law to full online sports betting market in not very much time. Indiana comes to mind on that front. We were doubting Indiana's ability to do this as mm-hmm. quickly. And, you know, have Arizona on the side there, same thing. They have a law and trying to get it live by NFL season two. Again, whether that's just retail or whether we have online too, who knows? But anyway, we're on the clock. We're going to have, as opposed to Florida, there's definitely going to be a robust market here. We have everybody who wants to be in Maryland is going to be in Maryland. There is no limit. I mean, there's a limit to how many sports books, but it's not a meaningful one. It's just
there's 60 enough. Licenses. Yeah. There's right. 60 licenses. Basically, everyone could have two if they wanted one.
Maybe you just, you know, DraftKings has a lot of extra money. They buy two licenses. So it's Maryland is going to be good. I can say that pretty confidently that we're going to have a robust market. If you're a sports bettor, you're going to get all the major players and then some. So should be salad days in Maryland whenever things get going there. And we don't know how it really quite have a timeline yet, but you know, I guess I'd be shocked if you're not betting online by the Super Bowl next year.
And one of the things that we've seen in some of these other states as well, I mean, namely, we're talking about, you know, the recent news in Arizona, but in Maryland, not only are casinos and racetracks eligible for retail, but also we're going to be getting them at the stadiums as well. We're yet to really see how this completely plays out, especially during an NFL season, to see how, you know, this might could, you know, how this could affect things or whatever. But we know that FedEx Field, M&T Bank Stadium, where the Ravens play, and then also Camden Yards are all going to have sports books inside them as well.
Right. And we actually saw already just like right after the governor signed the law, we have the Ravens and MGM doing a deal as an official gaming partner. This is not guarantee that they're the quote unquote sports betting partner of the Ravens, or there's going to be a retail MGM book there. But it's amazing how quickly these dominoes fall when you know, Arizona, there's a bunch of these deals already done because there's people want this exposure. They want to be a partner of the major sports teams. And in Maryland, especially, you really basically, you know, you have the DC teams, but you're basically, you know, Ravens and the Washington football team as far as major interest, and then, you know, Caps and Wizards in the district. So getting a Ravens deal is a pretty big deal for an MGM that wants to, you know, solidify its spots. They have a casino, of course, just outside of DC in Maryland as well. So they're carving themselves out a nice place in the market in the early days for Maryland sports betting.
Yeah. I, you know, especially during football season, I actually think that this is going to perform fairly well. Again, we don't really have a case study yet. There are partnerships, of course, with the Denver Broncos. We know that in Colorado, but during the pandemic, there were no fans that were allowed in the stadiums and stuff like that. And so, like, to see if there was really an effect on those partnerships as far as signups and things like that, we know that we haven't really gotten a case study with that yet. But I think, you know, people show up to these games early. You know, people show up early there, and whether it's to go party or to hang out or something like that. And if that means, you know, you carve out 15 minutes of you showing up a few hours early as it is anyway to swing over and place a bet or go sign up for an account at a kiosk that they've got set up or whatever it might be, you know, all the different ways that they can go about handling this. I think there's decent potential there. I mean, of course, there's only, you know, 8-9 home games a year, depending on now that we have a 17 game schedule, 8 or 9 home games a year with all this. But I think it's pretty good for customer acquisition.
Yeah. And, you know, it's always going to be online betting. Retail betting, no matter where it is going to be second fiddle. But same time, on the flip side of that, yes, a big opportunity on game days. You know, there's the argument that, you know, arenas and stadiums, you know, obviously baseball open a lot of the year, but you can have people coming into and engaging with your property every day of the year now, right? When there's whenever sports are going on, you could have people coming to the stadium, you know, going, you know, eating at a restaurant,
right?
You know, but buying stuff at the team store. Again, how much is that? But it's engagement that you do. Like, again, basically, like a football stadium has, you know, the 8 games a year, the playoffs, you know, a couple one-off events, some concerts here and there. Now you have a reason to have the doors open all the time again. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's, you know, and you know, even from a state, like a municipality standpoint, you're getting more, maybe more bang for your buck out of these arenas and stadiums that are often, you know, just for special use. And now you have a reason to use them all the time, which is interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, one of the things the NFL has really kind of mastered is keeping themselves top of mind throughout the course of the year, spacing out, you know, the play, you know, the NFL season lasts so long, and then you space things out, free agency and the draft and all the, you know, all the different things like that. And this is just, like you said, just another way to keep fans engaged year round with these teams. So let's talk about a subject near and dear to my heart here, the great state of Louisiana. This is one of the states where we've talked about this a little bit different than some of the other states. They have voted on not only DFS a couple of years ago, but sports betting this past election. Everything has to be passed on a parish by parish basis. If you're not familiar with Louisiana, parish is essentially the exact same thing as a county in the rest of the country. So there will be geofencing parish by parish around there, but all of the most populous parishes have voted not only in favor of DFS, but in favor of sports betting. Dustin, we have not yet seen DFS in Louisiana, despite that passing in 2018. And here we sit in May of 2021, and we're just now kind of getting the ball rolling here on sports betting for Louisiana, despite the fact that the people have in fact spoken.
Yeah, at least we're moving forward in Louisiana. We saw one of the major bills that would allow for sports betting pass the Senate. I think even as we speak, they're considering a couple of other enabling pieces of legislation in Louisiana that all work in concert to roll out sports betting in the state. Again, as you said, not every parish or equivalent of a county would get it. You'd have to be geofenced in the ones that where the referendum did not pass. So, but we have positive momentum moves. All this is theoretically going to move to the House, where if they pass it, goes on to the governor. Then we're suddenly talking about online sports betting in most of Louisiana. Again, I'm sure we've talked about Louisiana in the past, but pretty decent bill, allows licenses to, you know, all the casinos, the racetracks, two skins per licensee. So you could have up to 40 sports books in Louisiana. Again, a pretty ideal model from a max revenue maximization and from a consumer standpoint, allowing anybody who wants to come in, you know, 40 sports books is about enough to get.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that many available in other states, and like New Jersey hasn't even gotten to that point either. So this is good development, I think. Still work to be done in Louisiana, but again, we might be looking at as Louisiana as another state with sports betting in the not too distant future.
And, you know, I keep saying this, but I'm going to until the numbers come out, I'm going to keep beating this drum, and I might be completely wrong. I think the numbers are going to actually surprise people a ton, because not only is the state now keeping all of the money of the people in New Orleans who are leaving and going over and betting in Biloxi, but the proximity of Dallas to the Louisiana border and the proximity of Houston to the Louisiana border is very, 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 very short. And that's the reason that casinos exist in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And the reason casinos exist in Shreveport, Louisiana, is not to serve people in Shreveport and Lake Charles. It is to serve people in Dallas and in Houston. And those people are going to come over, and they're going to be betting during the football season and stuff as well. So I actually think the numbers, specifically during football season, because again, it's just one-off betting, maybe not during the off season and stuff where there's games going on all during the week. But when people could come over, make a weekend of it, you know, stay there, gamble, do their sports betting, things like that. I actually think during football season, Louisiana numbers could surprise some people.
Yeah, very possible. I mean, we're learning things about every market. We're going to get into numbers here shortly, but yeah, there's every market's a little different in terms of what, like, you know, access to other markets, what people like to bet on. You know, we've been, you know, we always talk about Colorado and its affection for table tennis betting for whatever reason. Like, there's micro little climates for what sports betting look like. And definitely could be. Yeah, you get the drive over traffic from Texas, and suddenly you're talking about a little bit bigger than you might think otherwise for Louisiana.
And Dustin, with that bill and what they're trying to pass right now, what does it look like on the mobile side from Louisiana? Is it going to be in-person registration? Are they working to try to get the mobile registration, or how does that look right now?
I don't think it's Scott includes in-person registration. I don't know 100%. I haven't seen that in the amendments, but
yeah, me neither. I was looking through as well, and I couldn't really decipher what was going on there.
Yeah, I guess I hope and presume we'll check on that, and we'll conclude the show notes. But I think right now we're talking about it's normal and that you don't have to. But I will check on that for you, Matthew,
We will. And like you said, we'll put it in the show notes here for this. We love to talk numbers here on the podcast, and Adam is not here. Adam's on assignment. I always like when they do that, like whenever it's a host that's normally there and they just say like, oh, it's out on assignment. So we'll just say Adam's out on assignment right now. Adam usually runs us through some of these numbers here, but all you this week, Dustin. So let's go with New Jersey. Let's start over there.
Yeah, there's nothing super exciting out of these numbers. I think we're trying to expectations that sports betting is just not on a rocket ship to the moon, despite what some people in the sports betting industry said. Like there's seasonal slowdowns, and yes, it seems like sounds like there's a lot of sports and a lot of interest in right now, playoffs starting, but there's just less to bet on as the calendar goes in through the summer. Like after March Madness is over, so we're talking about April numbers right now. New Jersey, $748 million in handle in April. That's well off all-time high, just under $1 billion in December. But this is what we expect, right? Because we know that the calendar is just less. There's, you know, we're basically betting on, you know, NBA in April. We're betting on NBA, MLB, which is not the most exciting product from a betting perspective, even though there's a ton of value and NHL. So just, you know, NFL is king, you know, college basketball is a big driver, again, volume on top of anything else. So, you know, so this is what we expect, but it's, if you see people out there saying, oh, sports betting is down in New Jersey, it's because of the calendar. It's not because of anything wrong with sports betting. So we're, we're looking at, we have nothing great to compare it to either, because last April, everything was shut down and we had 54 million in handle. So, bazillions of percent higher than it was last April. So we're still gauging what a new normal is for these kind of summer months. And, you know, again, we do know historically in Nevada, this is, you know, again, we know this is a slow time, even though people love to bet on NBA, there's just less to bet on. April less so, now we're in the playoffs, but you know, May, once we get into May, June, July, we're talking, these are really not great times for sports betting. So we're going to see, probably even in growing markets, we're going to see a bit of a pullback from their best numbers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. July is just a complete wasteland. So it should, when people look at those numbers when they come out of July, like you said, it's not necessarily that people are losing interest in betting. It's just that there's not anything that they're interested in betting on. So it's just that part of the calendar. What are we seeing from Pennsylvania?
In Pennsylvania, similar story. We're seeing not under half a billion in handle, but again, that's well off its high, but and down month over month. But again, we expect that. So, but really, again, we're comparing again against the nothing of last year. So something like it was 60 million last year in Pennsylvania in April. So there's that. We see FanDuel and DraftKings still leading here. FanDuel, I should have mentioned, still the leader, pretty far away the leader in New Jersey. So we have that. And then we have Barstool third in the market with a pretty small, still pretty distantly behind DraftKings and FanDuel in reverse order. But it's interesting. This is the most interesting thing to me, is seeing how this all shakes out. BetMGM pretty new to the PA market, but like who can cut into the FanDuel and DraftKings lead? That's the more interesting story here over the summer, aside from the top level numbers, is like our FanDuel and DraftKings holding on to that first mover advantage and their early leads. And like Barstool is not, yeah, they do well. They're depending on the week, depending on the month, they're doing better or worse in terms of revenue. But FanDuel and DraftKings, just in terms of volume and customers, they're still pretty far ahead. Now, again, caveat, Barstool's much newer to the market, but they're not really cutting in a meaningful way. They kind of got to third, like they opened the doors, they're third, and that's kind of it in terms of Barstool's place in the market. So that, that's over the summer months here and leading into NFL season, can Barstool become, a legitimate you know, number two threat, and they are, or is BetMGM going to continue to solidify that as a, you know, a number two or a number three, or is Barstool really like a number four? And we'll see what Barstool's strategy is. But we know, and we also know in Pennsylvania they're bonusing a lot. They actually had negative net revenue, I believe, in Pennsylvania, if I remember correctly. They bonused a lot and did not. They're just spending a lot of money on that marketing to their new players, and ended up with negative net revenue. So,
yeah, that'll be something we'll have to monitor and see if that actually flips at some point. But we know, like you said, they're still relatively new, still in heavy customer acquisition mode. So maybe that will change as we move a little bit further into a mature market for them. And what about Michigan?
Same story, Michigan, about $274 million in handle, I believe. You know, we're still, this is super early days in Michigan, but we're obviously have climbed very quickly. It's, you know, I'd say by the time we're in NFL season, we're going to be seeing Michigan on par, maybe not quite on par with the New Jersey, but, you know, we'll be closing in. We'll be certainly be a big number three, and might be challenging a Pennsylvania for the number two position. So unlike Casino, obviously there alongside, you know, can't overestimate this, that Michigan has really done a fantastic job with its marketing, with how they did it. All of this has turned into very quick growth, which then turned, you know, operators are happy, states making, you know, money from everything that's going on, and the markets. This is, again, if I'm launching online gambling, this is, I'm following what Michigan does, and, you know, rolling out all the operators at the same time, rolling out casino and poker at the same time, about the same time. Poker trailed a little bit, but we have poker coming, and there's an exciting story out of over a sister site, Online Poker Report, that they're at least contemplating joining interstate compacting in terms of joining the other states that have legal online poker, and you'd be able to play against people in New Jersey, Nevada, and Delaware. And, you know, you hope Pennsylvania joins that club sometime too. But we're on our way. This is a glimmer of hope that we're going to have a bigger poker market, which I know will excite you and our legions of followers on the Twitter machine.
Yeah, seriously. It's a, right now it's almost, I'm not going to say it's unplayable, but it's just, you know, it is, it's certainly rough right now. The streets out there, you add another couple states in there and things could get really, really interesting. So hopefully people decide that it's the juice is worth the squeeze and can make that happen. Cause, you know, listen, you and I both know there is a very, you know, there is a cap on poker, and we understand that, you know, the way that you make money in poker, there's just only so much money you can make, right? I mean, whenever you're just raking and it's just a rake scale, I mean, there's only so much money you can make in poker. But again, it is a good, I think it's a good retention tool and it's a good cross sell tool, right? I mean, like, you can keep people engaged. We talk about these slow months, right? I mean, we talk about the Junes and Julys and early Augusts of the sports calendar, where, you know, maybe you keep someone involved because you run a poker series or whatever it might be. Obviously, we know the WSOP typically happens in the summer and stuff like that. So, I mean, you run a poker series, maybe keep your customer a little bit more engaged, throw them some promos here and there, throw them a deal here and there, and get them ready for football season. I think it's I think there is a possibility that it is a net positive for these, as opposed to just kind of a luxury out there, you know?
Yeah, and it may never be. We're never going to be back to the days where poker is the main vertical. That's not going to happen. Casino and sports are going to be one and two. Now, poker, I think I agree with you. Poker is an acquisition tool. Poker is a retention tool. And, you know, and you get to, and maybe we get there. You get to a critical mass of states. That's what we always say, right? You get, you know, if we add Michigan and Pennsylvania to the player pool, we're not talking, you know, pre-Black Friday days for poker, but we are talking about a significant amount of people playing poker all at once in legal and regulated markets. And, you know, that, you know, as more, you know, we're seeing more states at least can contemplate the idea of online casino and poker. You know, we'll have probably Connecticut, whether they join a compact or not, who knows, but, you know, there's at least something going for poker. That's far more exciting than it was even, say, 2 or 3 years ago.
Before we get to the end story here, I'm circling back to the top of the show. I assume you wanted me to be the Robin to your Batman, and you wanted me to be the Bonnie to your Clyde. But where do you stand on the peanut butter jelly thing? Would I be the jelly to your peanut butter, or would I be the peanut butter to your jelly? How would that work out?
I just like eating peanut butter out of the jar.
So, okay, so that would be the jelly to your peanut butter then. Okay,
yeah, all right,
so
I'm not a big jelly fan.
Gotcha.
I'll eat peanut butter on anything though.
I just wanted to clarify that for the listeners, because I know everybody was certainly wondering how that was going to play out. Let's close things out here with some more programming, and it is betting programming that is not just one of the networks out there, but this is a official press release from one of the leagues.
Yeah, we got an NBA betting show on NBA TV. It's a joint partnership between the league, Turner Sports, and BetMGM that's going to be, you know, basically just betting focused information analysis. And I'll flip this immediately back to you. This is more your world. Like, what is the appetite for this kind of stuff? Like, are you going to, I know you consume a lot of betting content, but are you going to watch like a betting specific NBA show? Who is this for, do you think? And do you think this is valuable content for a league? I mean, it's obviously BetMGM getting its brand out there, but like, what do you think of the product as you read about it this morning?
Well, I do think one of the advantages that they do have here, which is a little bit different than a lot of the other content providers and content things that are going on out there, is one, you have access to highlights, unlimited, you know, interviews and things and whatever, and access to the players and coaches would it surprise me if Adam Silver showed up on one of these programs? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you do have that, which a lot of the other programming doesn't. Two, you do have the flexibility to start this thing and literally run it right into a game starting, which is another thing that a lot of the other programming doesn't have, because you just kind of have to fit it into your programming schedule as it is. And if you're an ESPN, or if you're one of the regional sports networks, or even any of the other ones, I mean, I do a show, you know, over for MSG Network every single night, you know, don't have that luxury, right? It's like there's the typical pregame shows that need to be run for those networks. I mean, that's where they're really, you know, one, getting sponsorships, and where they're really, you know, kind of getting the people to tune in a little bit before the game and make sure they're there to consume the programming. But with this running on NBA TV, I mean, these games aren't running on NBA TV. They're running on ESPN. The games are running on Turner. They're running on whatever. And so you're able to really just kind of basically, you're almost competing with yourself, but not really. It's probably a different person who's actually consuming this than the person who is into a typical pregame show. And so, you know, I think that's another advantage, that you can just kind of run it right up to tip off and run it right into a game getting going and things like that. I mean, as far as customer acquisition, I don't know. I'm a little up in the air on that, because I don't know if the average Joe finds this, you know, like, I don't know. Like, and that's where I'm a little bit up in the air. But hey, you know, look, maybe this is just as we talk about, we've gotten to these months where there is a little bit of betting fatigue. Right. I mean, it is the, you know, we're at the quarter pole of the baseball season. If you're not a hardcore baseball fan, you're the new shiny toy of the beginning of the year has worn off, and we're so far away from the playoffs that, like, you could be in baseball fatigue. The NBA season, as it wears down, certainly gets people to kind of trickle off and things. And so maybe this is their way of trying to get some of those people back in, back interested, stuff like that. But I am curious as to how it's framed and how they'll do it and all that. And we'll see. But this is just, I think this is just the beginning, right? I mean, we know for sure we've covered it here on The Deal. I mean, PGA is all into it. I think there's only going to be more gambling content around golf, and you know, NBA, the NFL, as much as they keep things kind of to themselves, there's going to be something done for sure. They know where their bread is buttered. I mean, like, they understand that if it wasn't for fantasy football and sports gambling, that the league would be far less popular than it is. And so, you know, they finally embraced, you know, full-fledged embraced fantasy football just a few years ago, where you can turn it on NFL Network and there's a dedicated fantasy football show that they produce for you on there. But you know, they're not stupid. They're going to embrace this gambling full-fledged here, and you know, we'll see that. NBA, don't know how much it moves the meter, but hey, look, I'm all for trying new things, right? And trying some new content and see how it all works out. I did notice in the press release they didn't say anything about the talent or who's going to be on it or how it's going to work or kind of anything like that. So that also is a little bit interesting, because, you know, are we going to get former NBA players on this thing? You know, like, so like, does, and that's another thing maybe that they have going for them is just the talent pool that they can pull from for stuff like this that may actually engage the casual fans.
Fingers crossed for Darren Revelle. Action Network is providing content. So maybe you'll get Darren.
He will. He'll update us on whatever Mattress Mac is betting. Essentially, is what we'll get from Darren. Like, it'll just be the Mattress Mac update every week.
Yeah, I mean, put a bow on all this. I mean, I think what everybody's learning is that you can't just jam a bunch of betting content into the regular stream. Yep. Like, you can't just put it on the preview. Like, tons of betting content. Like, you can mention it, but like nobody wants that, right? Your average NBA consumer is still. Does not want a ton of betting content. So you're providing this, you know, kind of off to the side. And like, if you want this content or you're engaged better, or you want that information, you can go and find it, providing it kind of siloed like that. So, and my last footnote is it is hilarious. The product is called NBA Bet. And I dug up the arguments from the Supreme Court case, circa 2018 2017, when they had the oral arguments, when they said sports betting, the lawyers for the NBA and the other leagues said sports betting is a cancer. And now we just put bet right after NBA. And that, like, it's again, amazing what money will do for the leagues and their position on gambling.
It really is. And, you know, I think that, I think the other thing that came out of this is not only that they're going to launch a social campaign to go along with this as well. They're launching an @NBA Bet Twitter handle that's going to give like highlights and analysis and different things that are related to the gambling part of the game and stuff. And so that is how far we have come, Dustin, that now we're going to get, they're going to be not only a show dedicated to it, but they're going to be highlighting things that happen throughout the game, probably like when a guy hits his point total or when the over hits or when the, you know, like different things like that. They're probably going to be highlighting all of that from an official NBA Twitter account.
Yeah. And it brings up the legitimate question of like, are we crossing lines? Like NBA, I mean, NBA has always been the most bullish and aggressive on this, but like you're tying your brand right into betting. Like that's like, is anybody else actually going to, like, everybody else is doing deals. Like, but this is NBA Bet. This is like, you're owning, like, again, you're working with Turner and MGM and Action and whatever, but you're owning the product. You're putting your brand on this gambling content, which is wrong is the right word, but it just feels like we're getting a little too far across the line. I mean, again, I encourage the leagues to embrace the gambler and gambling, but like you're tying yourself so much to gambling and outcomes now. I don't know. It feels like you could be going down a wrong path, but we'll see.
I did think it was a little soon. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I do think it's a little quick for an actual NBA, like third party content, like partnering with someone, sure, and then it runs on another network or it runs on whatever. Like I got all that. Like, but I did think this was a little quick on, you know, a full fledged branded show that is going to be airing on the league's network and stuff like that. I didn't think we would see that at least for a couple of years, but no, here we are. And we'll have it here starting the second round of the playoffs. I'm sure we will give our thoughts on what they produce whenever we are able to take it in for ourselves. Guys, as always, every single thing that we mention here on the podcast is written form over on LegalSportsReport.com. Cannot tell you enough how much you should go over there and take in all the great written content going over there by Adam and his team. Adam, be back from assignment next week as we get into episode number 104 here. Again, free to follow Dustin on Twitter. You should @DustinGallagher. If you hate yourself, @MattBrownM2, you can follow me. For Dustin, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.